Have you ever tried to take a brand new tent out of a box and to find the instruction sheet and then learn how to pitch that tent? I will tell you the best time to do that is before you go camping. And just a word to the wise, if you're planning a camping trip and you do get a tent, Rebecca is nodding her head yes, may have had an experience with this, and it's getting dark and it's beginning to rain, learning to pitch your tent at that moment is not the time to do so. That's not the time you want to figure out you're missing a pole or something like that. Nevertheless, pitching a tent with the instruction sheet is a challenge. If you've ever tried that before, to turn the sheet this way and that way, sometimes those instructions are rather poorly written, even with the best diagrams in the world, to have all this stuff randomly spread out in front of you. You know what's really helpful? Is to have somebody who owns that same tent just come along and say, oh, look, just here, snap the poles together. Now the short one goes in this one, the long one goes in the one with the red loops, and up it goes, and there you have it. And you're like, oh, well, now I see. That makes perfect sense. It's so much easier to watch someone do it. And in that same sense, God's written word, I do not mean to compare that to a poorly written instruction sheet, but God's written word can sometimes be difficult to figure out exactly how that applies to my life. But when I see God's word lived out in a person, standing there right next to me, and I see those different instructions and attributes exemplified in a life. Now that is powerful indeed. Paul often talks about the power of an example. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Paul invites people, if they want to see what a Christian life is all about, Philippians 3:17, follow his example. And not just his, but observe those who walk according to the pattern. The instruction sheet lived out in a life, look at that life, and you'll learn some important things about the instructions. Or as he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9, that he offered himself and his traveling companions as well as a model for you so that you would follow our example. And his model in that case was his hardworking nature. He said, if you want to see what a hardworking life lived for Christ is all about, just follow our example. And he offered himself as a model of what that looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 4 verses 16 through 17. Paul says, "I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul says, follow my example, and even though I can't be with you in person right now, I'm sending you Timothy, and he's my faithful child. Not in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. If you want to see the way I live, just look at Timothy. He'll remind you of the way a Christian is supposed to live. An example is a powerful thing in the life of a Christian. We read in the instruction manual, be forgiving. I get that. But if you've ever seen a spouse receive back his or her spouse after one has cheated, and you see that kind of brave forgiveness in action, then you see how that is lived out in a life. Or we read in the instruction manual, give generously. And then you see a struggling family put a check in the plate, and you realize, oh, that's how that works. That's how giving generously works. Or we read in the instruction manual, walk in holiness. And that's important, and yet sometimes figuring out where those margins lie is a little bit difficult. But you watch a Christian couple walk out of a movie, and you say, oh, that was walking in holiness right there. Or if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we hear the instruction And we know that it's important in the instruction manual to put other people's salvation above our own desires and above our own comforts. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, Paul says, just look at chapter 11 and verse 1, where Paul says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." That's another example of a really unfortunate chapter break, because we always read that out of its context, and it's pretty good as a standalone verse, just verse 1, "Be imitators of me as I also am of Christ." That's what we're going to talk about this morning, but check out the context. Chapter 10, verse 31 is where it starts. "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved." Put other people's salvation above my own comforts. Yeah, I read that, the instructions, but wow, look at Paul, who's made decisions in his life not for his own comfort, did not pound his fist about his rights or what he could do or couldn't do, but said, "If this is what you need me to do so that you can see Christ living in me, then that's what I'm going to do, because your salvation is more important than my comfort." Paul, crisscrossing the known world to bear news of salvation through rain, through hardship, through sufferings, through beatings, through persecution. Why? To spread the good news of salvation. What an example. But notice in chapter 11 and verse 1, where Paul says, "Be imitators of me," as we've looked at him say a number of times, Paul didn't just say, "Copy me." Paul said, "Copy me as I copy Jesus." You see, Paul was offering himself as a good example because he was kneeling to another and he was submitting his life to the authority of another, who is Jesus. So that in effect, what Paul is saying is, follow Jesus. I'm going to do the best I can to live out Christ in my life so that you can see what a Christ-like life looks like. But ultimately, what Paul is saying is, imitate Christ. Why is Jesus a worthy model? I mean, we have many models, right? We have many that we look up to, that we commemorate in various monuments. We have various words delivered to us that are worth reading and following, from Dave Ramsey to Confucius and everybody in between. Why does Jesus deserve to be the ultimate model? Well, as we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, he is the Word. He is the Word who is with God and the Word who is God. The Word. He is, what God speaks. He embodies it in his own behavior, in his own life. As the divine Son of God, he is the Word. He's the message. And in verse 14 of the same chapter, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Or to put it another way, in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Jesus is the model for us because Jesus is God in the flesh. We cannot see God. We learn about God through the instruction manual, through his word. But we see God made example through the person of Jesus Christ. In another passage in John 14 and verse 9, Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples who, sadly, even at this late date in Jesus' ministry, were still a little confused about some things, as probably we would be too. And Philip said in verse 8, "Show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? If you want to see who God is, his nature, what he's all about, what his values and expectations are, just look at Jesus. He is the will of God embodied. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 declares to us that in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Everything that God is presented to us in the form of the man Jesus Christ. And so he becomes our model, our exemplar to follow. In one of my favorite passages in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, where Paul's talking about the purpose of teaching, that we come together in times like this in order to attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and here it comes, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That our goal through worship and through teaching like this is to see the fullness of God in Christ and to aim at becoming, at molding ourselves into that same image. We're never going to get to the perfection of the original, but that we're aiming to become a measure, just a measure of that stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I'm going to get my own life to be molded just as closely to that example as I possibly can. And that's what having the faith modeled before us in the lives of others is designed to do. And Jesus, by the way, you may think that Paul was a little bit uppity there and saying, follow my example, follow my example. Remember, he's saying, follow my example as I follow Jesus. But if you think Paul was stretching a little bit, well, Jesus even more so, in holding himself up boldly as, yes, an example that we are supposed to follow. Most of the time that people do that, they don't look very humble. But Jesus was here pointing out the truth of the matter, that he is the divine Son of God. If we want to know what life is supposed to be like, follow his example. Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, that is, if you want to go where I'm going, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's not a negotiable thing there. Jesus is saying, if you want to end up where I'm ending up, then you need to follow. And that doesn't just mean the footsteps, the geographical direction, the GPS. That means live like I live. Because that's what directs us to the end result of an eternity with God in heaven. John chapter 13 and verses 14 and 15 is a powerful example of this same point, of Jesus holding himself up as the example. John 13, verses 14 and 15. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Jesus lived out his life intentionally to provide us an example. You see, the Gospels don't teach us just by giving us the commandments. And there are plenty of commandments in the Gospels. Do this in remembrance of me, for example, is one that we carried out this morning. Plenty of commandments throughout the New Testament, but that's not the only way the Bible teaches. It also teaches by example. It shows us the actions and the life of Jesus, so that we can fairly ask ourselves that question in any dilemma, in any decision: what would Jesus do in this situation? That's not just a bracelet. That's a fair question. That's an important way to determine how God wants me to live. How do I know what Jesus would do in this situation? I'll look and see what he did in similar situations. And then I'll apply that to my own life. What would Jesus do when he was faced with this temptation? What would Jesus do when faced with this irritating individual? What would Jesus do when confronted meanly by this individual? How would Jesus handle himself in these situations? When I find that answer exemplified in his life, I'll also discover what God expects me to do. For Jesus is our example. An especially important place to find this, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, is it not just when it comes to temptation and behavior and priorities. Those are all very, very important. but in an even more fundamental way, to see the way that Jesus carried himself in all facets of his life. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says, "You have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds were you healed." Interestingly, for those of you who like word studies, this is actually a different word in Greek. All the other places where we've seen the word example, it's the Greek word typos. We get our English word type from that word. And if you can imagine an old typewriter, or in an even older system, an actual die with a hammer, and you've got an image on that original, on that die, and you take that piece of metal and you smack it, and guess what? It leaves an impression in the metal, which is exactly the same, well, it's in reverse, but it's exactly the same as what was on the original. It has left an impression, the type. And so Jesus is the example, and he needs to leave that impression upon us that we mold ourselves according to his image. I hope you'll keep that image in mind. But this word example here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2 and verse 21 is actually a different word. It's the Greek word hupogrammos. And by the roots, it means the underwriting. And what if we just follow the roots of that word, what it refers to is, you know, like in elementary school, I don't know if they still do this or not, they've changed so much, but back when we were in elementary school, you got in kindergarten the piece of paper with the letter, let's say, S up on the top of the page. And then in dotted lines, they would have S all the way across the top. And you'd get your crayon out or your pencil or whatever, and you trace the S, and you trace the S, and you follow the, you trace the dots, you trace the S. And after a few lines down the page, the lines go away. And now you just have blank space there for you to keep doing the S and doing the S. Well, that original exemplar that you learn by tracing, you learn by following, that's actually the meaning of the word underwriting here, by the roots. That's the word picture that's involved. And so if you can have that word picture in your mind, the idea of the example here is that original that we might trace over and over again until we get it right, until we get to a point where now we've learned our letters and we can do it on our own. That Jesus serves as the example for us to follow, that we copy his actions until we get it right. And that's how we learn. But the example that Jesus, that Peter is talking about here, is his willingness to suffer on the behalf of others. And that's an example that I know I haven't learned how to trace perfectly yet. Because I know that when somebody challenges me, I don't want to give any ground. And I know that when somebody is mean or nasty, I don't want to absorb that insult. I want to give it back and then some. But what Jesus is teaching us through his example is to be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to forgive, to have another person's best interests in mind from start to finish. Not to try to get even, not to return blow for blow, insult for insult, but to overcome evil with good. Well, that's an example that I'm very, very imperfect in following. And that shows us how much we have yet to learn from our example of Jesus the Christ. But it does remind us that every Christian should not only search for models of Christ-like behavior, because we see how much we need the faith embodied in people around us, but to become models of Christ-like behavior. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 is where Paul was giving instruction to Timothy, who is going to go out and preach the gospel, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul said, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness." Now, not in the matter of just stamp your feet and say, don't you look down on me, because Paul says you're not supposed to. But by the way you live, you'll overcome all of those prejudices about your age. In speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. And that's a challenge and a charge for every one of us who wears the name of Christian, to know that we're bearing in our lives the type of the original of Jesus, and that we need to do so as close to that original as possible, because other people are going to be looking to us for an example of what salvation is all about, of what the Christian life is all about. For many of us, our tents are kind of wonky, and there's a question where if the rain or the wind comes, whether that, I don't know if that tent right there is pitched the way it's supposed to be according to the instructions. I don't know if it's going to stay up. But that's what we have to learn to do, to become models of Christ-like behavior. And look at the five areas that Paul emphasizes. Not that this is an exhaustive list, but if I could bring my life to bear the type of Jesus in these five areas, I'd be getting far along the avenue, wouldn't I? Speech. Does my speech typify the way Jesus spoke? Conduct. Does my behavior exemplify the way Jesus behaved? Love. Do I put others' interests before my own interests? Am I willing to sacrifice as Jesus sacrificed for the salvation of other people? Do I love like Jesus loved? Faith. Do I trust God? Is my allegiance so fully in God that he and his kingdom is my ultimate and first priority in all things? Am I willing to follow him to the ends of the earth? And purity. That's a special kind of behavior, right? Does my life reflect the way Jesus would live, his vocabulary, his media choices, his sexual purity that is reflected in my everyday decisions? In all these things, show yourself an example of those who believe, because what our world needs to see more than anything else right now is not that our politics are right, is not that our financial decisions are right, but that our faith is right. And that our devotion to Jesus is what it ought to be. People need to see the gospel embodied. That's what they need more than anything else right now, the light of the gospel. Clearly, you can see from all that we've looked at today that the people we spend time around are going to be the people we emulate, because examples are that powerful. It is an undeniable law of influence. That those that we spend the most time with are going to be those whose lives we pattern. And so we need to see to it that we are very good examples. We need to see to it that we're choosing very good examples, because their influence is important. There was a Harper's Index poll taken recently that asked a question of children: do you look up to your parents? And the answer came back a dismal and depressing 39% of children polled looked up to their parents. I don't want to poll that. I just think that that's a really sad figure, to think that in American society, so few of children, for whatever reason, because maybe the example hasn't been what it should, maybe they haven't learned to value the older generation as they should, but for whatever reason, young people are looking to the wrong source for their heroes. Maybe to sports figures, or to action stars, or to singers and songwriters who may be wonderful in certain areas, but perhaps aren't the best exemplars of what a life lived in God's service is all about. And so be so very careful about who we choose to spend our time with, because that's who we're going to tend to follow. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." It's an undeniable law of influence. We need to influence others, but bad company corrupts good morals. Or as the Proverbs put it in Proverbs chapter 22 and verses 24 through 25, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." Whatever you want to substitute in that passage for the behavior, Solomon's talking about anger, but you just take that word out and substitute in whatever word you like. Go with a person who behaves X way, and that's X way is the way you're going to find yourself behaving. You will learn his ways. Note the importance of good examples in our lives. Seek those good examples because they teach us almost more than Scripture itself. I'm not in any way saying that we should stop reading Scripture and just look at people around us. We need to know what Scripture says to know what we're looking for. And indeed, this is the authoritative message of Christ. But boy, how helpful it is to have the faith lived out in people around us. And so do your best as a follower of Jesus Christ to model Christian behavior in your everyday manners and speech and values and priorities, because believe me, people are looking and they are learning. This morning, Brother Mike has selected an invitation song for us, which is coming up here on screen here in just a second. What will your answer be, number 284? One day you will stand before God's judgment seat and give an account of the life lived. We have all fallen short of God's expectations, but he has provided a means for us to be justified in the blood of his son, Jesus. You may be washed in that blood by confessing your faith in Jesus, turning away from the ways of this world and turning toward Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if we can help you in that this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing this invitation song?